Fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Tuesday, I think it is, isn't it? Boy, I slept like a rock last night. I got up a little bit early, but I don't even think I rolled over from about 8:30 until 4. I don't think I rolled over. So it's great to wake up like that after a good refreshing. Got a busy day ahead of us. I got some guys coming in, bringing some chainsaws. We're going to cut some firewood, clean up some of the stuff laying around sky high. If you're within an hour's drive, don't have anything to do, come and join us. Bring your chainsaw. We'll provide a little bit of food, some great fellowship, and some firewood. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. Looking forward to a little bit. They'll probably have to cart me in here tomorrow, right? We're going to try to maybe do a couple days of this. Lord, where do you want me to go today? Where do you want me to start? I know where I want to start. I don't want to get too heavy, but I got something heavy to talk about here this morning. And before I do that, I want to get into the heavy part of it. I don't know if Chad got up this morning or not, but I like to emphasize things that are going on out in the field that we don't know are going on out in the field. And Chad had a Salt and Light Brigade event last week, on this weekend, and I didn't really get a chance to say much to him about it yesterday. I spoke to him yesterday afternoon. Are you out there, Chad? I don't know if you are or not.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Chad, fill us in, man, because especially the fact that it's growing. Talk about that a minute, Chad. Folks, listen, this is so crucial. If we don't move beyond just getting in here and having a fellowship every morning, if we don't move beyond this, it's been wasted effort. To me, it'd be like having a football team and practicing and never going and playing a game.
Amen.
And the reality of it is we can't all play in the same game because we're so spread out. But we can begin to gather like-minded people right where we are. They're all around you. They're all around you.
And we're all playing the same game.
I want to say before I get too far in this, we want to help you organize an event. If you would like to do an event wherever you are, by an event, what if we just start out just with a noon until 4 get-together? You just invite people just for 4 hours and get them together and get to know them and begin to build a network that's the network that we're going to need in the days ahead. And Chad has done a wonderful job of this. Now, I want you to know this. Chad's been doing this for 4 years, at least four, maybe more than that. He's put a lot of time and effort and energy and money into making this thing happen. And I'll let him talk about his good event here. We got Bobby Lee works his tail off. Bobby's got events. He tries to get them going in Pennsylvania, tries to get them going in Kentucky. We got others that are doing. Clay's doing things. Folks, listen, you don't have to be anything special. Just, you don't have to be. Say, Coach, listen, I got a gathering. I think maybe I can get 15 people, 20 people together. Okay, I'll try to come if I can make it. I'll come and try to help you build something. Or maybe I'd even talk to you for 20 minutes over a Zoom. You could put it up, play it up in your living room, and I would talk to them about what it is we're trying to do. And you guys get together and have some fellowship. We need this. Let us forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. Come on, folks. Come on. If they shut down this queue, we're screwed, right? We're screwed if they shut it down. That's why yesterday after the show, we went and we did a practice run on Brave, the new platform, rather than Google, because these guys are the enemy. Google's the enemy. Brave, we had some glitches with it. We worked in the after show, and we're going to keep after it. But we have got to figure out, oh, man, lot to talk about. Anyway, Chad. I spoke to Chad yesterday, and I love the way Chad plays, by the way. And Chad had an event in Texas. Tell us about your event, Chad, real quickly, bud.
Well, we started, you know, at at 8 p.m. on Friday night. And then we have, this is where we have like the meet and greet with anybody. Generally, anybody that's new that comes, we want them to come during that time. We just have hamburgers and, you know, we get to know them. Sometimes we feel each other out because they may not, you know, well, look, we don't know if everybody's going to stick. And we're not going to compromise what we're doing here just to accommodate everybody that shows up, right?
Yes.
So will you do that? And usually stay till about midnight or whatever. But what's been great, we've had such a well-rounded program here over the years that I'm honored that other folks that are within our own huddle, they're out recruiting. So that tells me, it makes us, you know, that we have some depth, that they believe what we're doing. It's not Michelle and I that make this thing happen. Really, it's the attendees. It's the people, the core people, the group itself is just.
Chad, let's be honest. You're in Texas. You guys aren't 10 minutes from each other. People come long distances to be part of this.
Well, that's right. When somebody says, hey, well, we're an hour and a half away from each other. And I said, man, we drive that to get groceries. You know, I'm just saying. it's enriching. I mean, you know, on Sunday, we wrap up at noon. There's still people like hanging out here till 2:30. You know what I'm saying? Because they just don't want, I don't know. It's a special time because at any time, it's like anytime we can all come together with people that think like you do, and you share information and phone numbers, emails, and all this other thing too. And it's like, yeah, if you want to run one and get one of these events going, yeah, we'd love to help you. But you also, look, you got to get on the phone and you got to get on the email like it's a Jerry Lewis telethon. You know, you got to be working people, talking to them, inviting them, encouraging them, these kind of things, and checking in with them all through the week and things. And so it's not a hands-free operation. Yes, there's no turnkey. So if you want to do a brigade or something like that, we don't just have a group of people like zombies walking around here and you send us an email and just say, hey, we want to do something, that we just plug them all in. I mean, you're going to have to get on there and work those people to get
Chad,
them.
Chad, we know this. Chad, you said to me that you had like five new people, right? That somebody brought five new ones this weekend, right?
Well, there were several people that brought some with them. So that was just one person. So
that's the greatest form of evangelism, is it? One person to one person. Now, folks, understand this, and I know you do. There's an awakening going on all around us. All those people that you see out on the streets and watch YouTube videos of these folks. Hey, friends, listen, those are your neighbors. Those are your neighbors. You just don't know it. And so you have got to take a risk. It's like asking a girl out for the first time, right? You really want to ask her out, but golly, maybe she'll say no. Well, maybe she'll say yes. And we just got to begin to, whether you get, just make yourself up a little flyer, just cut up a little piece of flyer and put invitations, go around your neighborhood or send them to people at church or whatever. Say, hey, listen, next Sunday or next Saturday from noon until 4, we're having a gathering, a get together. And don't go too much in depth, just something like we're concerned about the times that we live in and would love to get together and discuss some ideas, yada, yada. People are going to come because they are concerned and they're not getting it in their churches. They're not getting it in their churches. And so Chad or Bobby or anybody out there having anything to add? Because Bobby's got it, you know, Pennsylvania Brett, those guys, they got it going out in Pennsylvania. We got guys that are trying to do it now up in Michigan area. Wisconsin's got them going. Ray LeBlanc's up there kicking butt. And, of course, Neil and Mary, they're helping them up there. Folks, you got to build your own network. I'm willing to help you, but you got to build your own network, because if everything goes south, I ain't going to be here. It's like a pastor, right? You can't be too dependent on your pastor. He can't always come to your house. And I'm not comparing me to a pastor, but I'm the moderator. I don't always have the answer for you. You can't always come to me. So you got to build a network where they are. I don't want to belabor it. I think you guys understand what I'm saying. But I'm saying to you also, we're willing to do whatever we can do. We will use our email lists. Let's say you live in, let's pick Oklahoma, and you want to do an event in Oklahoma. We'll get an email out to all of our Oklahoma people, maybe Missouri people that are all around them. We saw what happened with Kevin Van Story when he tried to put together the tactical training out there. Well, we didn't do a very good job of promoting it. And as a result of it, it looked like it was a failure when it isn't. There are people all over that area who are interested in doing it. We're seeing that now, right? So it's a communication issue and we're willing to help you, but you're going to have to step out. You're going to have to do it. Say, Coach, I'd like to have one, but I need some help, and we'll help you do it. We'll help you make that happen. Chad, do you have anything to add to that, or Bobby or anybody have anything? I don't even know if Bobby's out there listening. He usually is. Chad, anything?
Well, no, I mean, I agree, Coach. It's just the fellowship there. We have other people that give classes. That's what I want to do. I want to tap in. There's a lot of information that other people have, and they just need the opportunity just to say, hey, buddy, I'd like for you to come give a class next time on whatever. And, you know, you see their face light up, or they see them kind of like, oh, well, I've never gotten in front of people before. But look, we got to push them out there, because at some point they may be leading something wherever they are. We need to prepare people for the up and coming events. If we, whatever we believe in, you know, we just think that there's something coming. So we need to be developing people. Next man up, you know.
Next man. So if you get a commitment from five people, tell them to each get a couple to bring with them. That's all. Just find a brother, have them bring their brother or their nephew or their cousin or somebody they work with. We folks, come on. This is one-on-one evangelism of people that you're going to have to partner with right where you are. I'm just telling you. We want to help you. We really, really want to help you. Debbie Perkins, come on in real quick.
Well, I just wanted to say, you know, I attend Chad's group, and when I lived in Lubbock, which is a 5-hour drive to get there.
Wow.
You never know how this something is going to change your life. So just being part of that group and finding like-minded people who are willing to sort of put their actions where their mouth is, I end up moving to Temple, which is just, you know, 15 miles from where Chad's group is. And we've all become really good friends. So you don't know that person that comes randomly, how that will affect their life long term, and how it may be a step in the walk they have with the Lord.
Amen. And it's that's evangelism in itself, right? Evangelism in itself. Praise the Lord. Hey, I want to acknowledge a couple things. You know, Jeff Klein's been kicking butt up there. He's been kicking butt up there in Mount Vernon at the school boards, and he's building an army. Last night they had the event. Wasn't Jeff? It was in Coshocton. They had the event with Pastor Greg Locke, and I know some of our folks went there, and it was good. It's encouraging. And Ohio Brett, I know he was on his way back from he did the most unbelievable interview yesterday on the Hagman Report. I don't know if you guys got to see that. Brett had about 30 minutes at the beginning of Hagman Report talking about the ChristianRevolution.net. Did a fantastic job. And then on the way home last night, he stopped by the Greg Locke event in Coshocton. And I assume he handed out cards and talked about that. And folks, they're unbelievable. A lot of guys who are working like dogs to do some good stuff. So I acknowledge Jeff and everything he's doing, and Ohio Brett and everything he's doing. And a lot of you, I mean, as soon as I start naming names, OJ and John Brockhoff drove I don't know how many hours to go down and stand with their brother, Craig Alkemeyer, down in Missouri. They spent the weekend down there with him. And, you know, Craig called me and said, Coach, I've never been around anything like what we have going on here, a true fellowship of the saints, people who really and truly care about each other. OJ and John Brockhoff came down there and so built into my life. That's what Craig told me. He called me and told me that. We're missing so many opportunities, friends. So many opportunities. Because listen, it's going to get, that's what I'm going to talk about here in a minute. Hey, it's going to be a rude awakening before a great awakening. We are heading for some tough times. If you don't believe that, I don't know what to tell you. And we got to prepare. That's why I'm cutting a lot of firewood this weekend. I'm thinking maybe we're going to have somewhat of a kind of a tough winter. I don't know what you guys think. I think that's a possibility that we might be see all type of shortages, fuel shortages, energy shortages. They've been setting us up for this crap for how long, right? Come on, man. So I'm for you, not against you. So I want okay, Jeff, come on in, then I'll hire Brett, and then I want to get into what I want to get into. Go ahead, Jeff, you're up first.
Just real quick, November 14th, 2:00 on the square. That's a Sunday afternoon. We'll do that freedom rally. We will not bow. Pastor Neil Peterson out of Dayton's running for governor. Yep. So we'll have him there. Then the rest of the lineup, I picked up a couple other ones maybe yesterday. I'm hoping Pastor Matt Schwartz, the one that's on the school board down there that we went and visited a few times, yep. Well, he can bring some fire. And then Pastor Troy Dugan, he's a bold guy. And then I have you, Coach Dave, and Pastor Bill. We'll have five powerhouses to speak on that square. So we're putting
together. So, Jeff, get us the information so we can get it up on our website. Now, listen, right. I'm going to say this. I'm sorry I'm going to say this. I'm going to speak my heart because that's just who I am, all right? How do I say this in a nice way? I want to hear from doers. I don't want to hear from talkers. Anybody can talk a good game. Talk. I want guys.
Amen.
I want guys that are doing it.
Amen.
Can I tell you the truth? This is me. What? I didn't hear Greg Locke last night. I'm sure he did a great job. Bill Dunphy's been saying that for 10 years.
Boom.
Right? For 10 years, he's been saying that same stuff. Nobody wants to hear what he has to say. Now we want to – listen, I'm one of them. Don't get me wrong. Now we want celebrity speeches. We want celebrities to come in. Where are our local celebrities? Where are our local people? Why can't we have a meeting of local people and men of God stand up? Why do we need celebrity pastors to come in all the way in? Right? Christianity's become celebrity driven. I'm not criticizing Greg Locke. Praise the Lord for Greg Locke. Praise the Lord for all these pastors around. Praise the Lord. But who is leading an army? I don't want to fly around and do pep talks. I don't want to do that. I want to fly around, put teams together, and then let those teams function and have impact right where they live. Those of you who follow us know that's what we do, right? Neil and Mary and Ray and Bobby, look around, right? There's action to what we do, not just talk. We've got to get there. We've got to get there. Oh, higher, Brett, you were up than you came down. Did you not want to speak, Brett? Because you did an unbelievable job on Hagman last night. A lot of people don't get it. I don't know where he is. He's not.
He popped out of the room.
It could be he's probably traveling. Could be his phone went down. So we'll get him back in. If you didn't get a chance to see it, he did a fabulous job on Hagman Report last night. He's on for about 30 minutes. And I don't know if you know this, Doug Hagman, his audience is about 4 million. Over the course of a week, 4 million people will listen to any given program. So maybe 2 million. Bad night, let's say. Only 2 million will hear Brett during the next week. But I want him to know I was proud of him. He did a wonderful job. Cool. All right. Let me get into it here. Pull up for me there, Spencer, if you will. The cost of the gospel. This is the problem of America. We have a costless gospel. In fact, I wrote about that. I'm not going to get to that right now. We have a costless gospel. We have a love only, Jesus, provide all my needs gospel, and he does. We have a gospel in America today that doesn't ask us to do anything.
Amen.
We're not required to do anything. Just walk an aisle, say a prayer, and go to church on Sunday and pay your tithes. And don't do anything that would be controversial, make anybody mad, or bring disrepute to the church. Just come and just somebody give me a thumbs up. You don't have to amen. I know I'm telling you the truth. And I was this morning, I was kind of mulling around and said, Lord, what do I talk about today, Lord? What do I talk about? And Lord, it's blindness. It's a spiritual blindness in the church that think that staying in our church and hiding in our churches is somehow going to advance the kingdom. Where did we ever come up with that? And I wonder how many, see, people like Jeff Nell just got ripped in the newspapers out in Fallon, Nevada. You know, his son, Jeff's son died a month ago, 2 months ago now. Actually blew himself up in an explosion with some, he would go out and blow stuff up. He was a former military guy, and he would go put gunpowder together and blow things up. And he lost his life. And so the newspaper does a story on the death of Jeff, of this guy, and the entire thing is about bashing Jeff Nell. The entire thing was about Jeff Nell and him going to school board meetings and people thinking he's crazy. The whole thing, talking about his son's death, and it was despicable. It was despicable. And I knew what was going on when I was having the conversation with Jeff and I was reading what they said about him. Folks, you got to understand that the God haters want to make sure that they can do everything to intimidate you to make sure you don't do it. You missed that. They want to make sure they do everything they can to make sure that you don't do it. Same thing that happened January 6th when we went to Washington, D.C. They want to make sure you don't do it. You don't do it. I'm going to throw this out for all of you to chew on because I'm seriously considering this. What if we organized a freedom march in Washington, D.C. on January 6th? I say we go back. I say we go back. That's what I say. We go back. We're not going to let them intimidate us.
More numbers.
You don't take guns. You don't take guns. This is peaceful. We need to go back. That's a different story. But I feel that. So we're living in a Christianity that doesn't cost us anything. Bravery now has become standing up at a school board meeting. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Standing up at a school board meeting has now become bravery. Why? Because it is so rare. And then if you do stand up at a school board meeting, you go back to your church and half the people in your church criticize you because you shouldn't have done it. You didn't make Jesus look good, right? Right? And meantime, everybody in the church is sending their kids to the public schools, and we wonder why America is in such a mess. Pastors won't say it. Not a pastor in America stands in the pulpit and says, hey, get your kids out of public schools. Maybe there are some. Get your kids out of public schools. Say, well, coach, I can't afford to. So you're going to sell your kid? You're going to sell your kid? What are you going to do? You're going to feed your child? Oh, well. I know it's controversial, but I'm telling you the truth. So I was thought today, we're 21 minutes in. I got to get rolling. Sermon on the Mount. Hey, folks. Jesus Christ laying out Christianity. If I could say that he condensed it down into Cliff Notes version, Matthew 5 is the gospel. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. I want to tell you this again, friends. This Sermon on the Mount is given to the disciples. Do you see this? And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. He left the multitudes. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. He got away. They probably said, Lord, we got a whole bunch of crowd down here. And he walked up and said, okay, boys, before I go down there and speak to them folks, I got something I need to say to you. That's the way I read this. That could be theologically wrong, but that's how I read it. The disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. Who's them? Well, that, if you do know anything about English and sentence composition, the them refers to the people we just spoke of, which was who? The disciples. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We could break each one of these things down, but I'm not going to. I'm making a point here. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, what's the kingdom of heaven? That would be a good question to ask, wouldn't it? Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, not keepers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. The peacemakers shall be called the children of God. And blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Second reference he made. See, they teach us in church, heaven, going to heaven. No. The kingdom of heaven. Where's the kingdom of heaven? Within us. The kingdom of heaven is what empowers you and strengthens you to go and speak. That's the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is what gives you the ability to say, I don't give a rat's behind what you say. I'm going to speak the truth. That's because you got the kingdom of heaven inside of you. If you think the kingdom of heaven is somewhere that you're going to go, then you're going to be frail and weak and afraid. I'm telling you. Oh, Lord. So he said, blessed are they which are persecuted. Jeff Nell, that'd be you. Jeff Klein, that'd be you. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They cannot do it unless the kingdom of heaven is within them. How can you resist that? Now, folks, here's what the kingdom of heaven brings. Now, the kingdom of heaven, according to Romans or 1 Corinthians, I can never remember, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, that's the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, that's the kingdom of God, right? Oh, my, blessed are you when men shall revile you. See, folks, this isn't friendship evangelism we're talking about here, right? Jesus is telling his disciples, boys, here's what you're heading towards. If you're going to be my disciples, this is what you're heading toward. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. They do an article in the newspaper in Fallon, Nevada, bashing Jeff Nell, but they did it for the Lord's sake. Jeff took the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune for the Lord's sake. You're blessed when that happens to you. He says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Folks, now listen, heaven and kingdom of God, it's the same thing. Oh my goodness, great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted the prophets which were before you. Jesus Christ is telling his disciples the gospel. Right here it is. This is the gospel. It's not live better, happier, wealthier, everybody love you, friendship event. It is not the gospel. It's not.
Amen.
You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, how can it or wherewith shall it be salted? If you got the gospel and there ain't any salt in it, it's good for nothing, Jesus said. In fact, if you got the gospel and there's no salt to it, you don't even have the gospel.
Amen.
You got pretend salt. They call that conservatism. It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. By the way, is that going on today? Does anybody think that's going on today? I'd say it's going on today.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, it says you're the light of the world. And a city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Then why are we hiding in our churches? Why are we hiding in our churches? Because he said, neither do men light a candle and put a building over the top of it. No, they put it on a candlestick. And he gives light unto all that are in the house. So let your light so shine where? In the church? Let the light so shine before the church that they may see your good works. Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Scribe down, Spencer. Spencer's sleeping on me. Going to dock him some pay. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works. Not your good talk, not your good speech. See your good works. And
amen.
That glorifies your Father, which is in heaven. He said, don't think that I came to destroy the law. For the prophets, I didn't come to destroy them, came to fulfill. By the way, to fulfill, well, that's a whole nother story. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till it all be fulfilled, completed.
Amen.
Whosoever therefore shall break one of these commandments and shall teach men so, anybody who shall break one of these commandments and teach men it's okay to be a homosexual, teach men to be an adulterer, teach men to sleep around, to teach men to run and hide, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. There's that kingdom again. Hey, here it comes again. But whosoever shall do and teach, he's going to be called the great in the kingdom of heaven. Not heaven, kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, right where we are. So there's the gospel. There's the gospel that he preached. This goes on. I'm not going to take time to read the rest of the chapter. You can. Here's the gospel he preached to his disciples with all those people down at the bottom of the hill. He didn't preach to all those people at the bottom of the hill. He says, boys, I'm about to set you loose, and you're going to go minister to all those people. And here's what you better know. They're going to hate you. You're going to say all manner of evil against you falsely on account of me. And when that happens, you rejoice. You know you're doing the right thing, buddy. You keep plugging away. Because I got to tell you this, the devil's kids and those who are unregenerated are not going to like it. Why? Because they can't even receive the Spirit. They cannot even receive the things of the Spirit. They can't even receive them. And now we have a strong delusion, 2 Thessalonians, that men are believing lies everywhere we look. And anyone who speaks up against those lies is now being called names by those who are what? Right there, what it told us it would be. Are you getting persecuted every day? Why not? Because they're teaching us in our churches the love gospel. Minister in love, show love. That's part of the gospel. That's only part of the gospel. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning. Amen. You don't fear God, there ain't no wisdom. Look at the American government. You don't fear God, there ain't no wisdom. Look at the American education system. You don't fear God, there ain't any wisdom. Look around at the politics. Just look around. No fear of the Lord. And anybody who shows up with the fear of the Lord gets trampled down, not only by the lost, but dare I say it, but from the found. You're too harsh.
Amen.
Shouldn't speak that way, coach. Coach, if you could just tinder down your message a little bit, coach. If you just weren't so aggressive, coach. If you just weren't so loud, coach. Trying to make it palatable for the sinners to eat. It ain't palatable. It ain't ever going to be. You're salt. They're going to spit it out. They're going to hate you. That's Christianity. Come on in, Joe.
This past weekend, you talked about the salt and this message is getting around that needs more salt. We had our first transgender child here in Missouri, a homecoming queen.
Unbelievable.
What is going on with our salt?
Where's the church? Shouldn't the church? Right. Geez. See, we don't get it, do we? We don't get it. That we're told to occupy till he comes. That we were told to go into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded you. Does that mean we're only supposed to teach those in the church? Is that what it means? Where is that? Is that Matthew? Is that the bottom of this? Is that Matthew 28, the bottom of this? Is that where it is? The Great Commission, the Great Commandment. Read full chapter. You could have clicked right at the bottom, Spencer. It says read full chapter. There it is. Keep on going. What's it say? What's it say at the end of this thing? I probably have the wrong thing. The Great Commission. Go ye into all the world. Go ye into all the world. Teach them to observe all I've commanded you. What did he command us to do? What did he command us to do? We're supposed to be teaching them. Are we teaching that in our schools? No, we're not teaching that in the schools. No. No, we don't do that. Why? Who knows? We're supposed to love everybody. Love everybody. Everybody goes to heaven. Whatever, do what's right in your own eyes. That's the American gospel. There it is. Go therefore. And Jesus came unto them. Is this Matthew? Oh, it's verse before. Chapter before. And Jesus, thank you, man. Matthew 28. He's talking to who? Who's he talking to? Why, he's talking to the crowd. No, he isn't. He's talking to his disciples. Go there and teach all nations, ethnic groups, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you.
Amen.
Go and teach. Go and teach. That is the great commandment. Go and teach and don't put sugar on it. Go tell them the truth. And it's going to be rough, and they're going to hate you. That's why I'm going to be with you always, even until the end of the age. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world.
Amen. Because
it's a kingdom within us. It's not a kingdom we're going to. It's a kingdom that is within us. And I believe in my heart that when I die, I immediately translate it into the kingdom of God. I don't know if that means I go to heaven. I don't know what it means. I don't know that. But I know that the kingdom of God is within me. I feel it. I sense it.
Hi, Chicken.
I know what I used to be like.
Jax.
I know what I used to be like. Oh. I know what I am. Come on in, Reggie.
Hi, baby.
Veronica, you're unmuted. Go ahead, Reggie. Can't hear you, Reg. Got that problem with your phone again. Call back in. Lisa, come on in, then Jeff.
Hey, Coach. Yeah, you're really on the right topic today with the persecution. The persecution. I mean, it's the first thing, you know.
It's coming too, Lisa. It's coming, baby.
Oh, it's here. I mean, we're being persecuted from all sides, not only, you know, just in, as our as a country, but as personally. 4:30 in the morning, my daughter, who's had medical problems for 5 years, she's on her way to the hospital right now with my husband. I told her not to go. You know, she doesn't have COVID and they can test her for that. That's one thing. You know, we're being hit with taxes in our township that we've, you know, back taxes from 6 years ago that we were never given a bill for, but you got to pay it right now. And then everything, the every single bill that you could possibly think of, you know, 10 grandchildren, we're trying to store food. We're trying to, it's all that, right? Last night, Mike Lindell came on live and said Verizon and AT&T canceled him. So if you have a Verizon or an AT&T phone, you cannot get Frank's speech anymore. So you can't hear about his symposium.
Folks, if you can't see the beast system at work, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you, Lisa. I mean, it's real.
It's real. And then General McInerney was on when I was on my way home from work, you know, cleaning offices to try to, you know, he said, you know, we're at war. This is World War III. I don't know if anybody, you know, he's saying that this going to the Supreme Court for our country anyway is our last hope. But, you know, we have God. So, you know, he might come up with something, plan B. I don't know. But anyway, you're talking about the getting together. I'm talking to everybody. I'm handing them little pieces of paper. You know, we had a Delco Patriots meeting here in Pennsylvania Saturday. 30, 40 people were there. The guy that's running for county judge was there. School people running for school board were there. So it was a small group of people. And I got up to speak at the end. I gave as much information as I could with the medical tyranny, with the remdesivir, the whole thing. But and like you said, if enough people aren't doing this and you're gone, Coach, if you're gone, I don't know what we're waking up to.
Yeah, I don't know what we are.
I don't know what we're waking up to. We don't have a church here. We have political groups. I don't even know what they are. It's a waste of time to go to a church. You got to get out there and talk to people. Like you said, we're praying 24/7. I'm praying for you, Coach. I'm praying that we don't get this canceled.
They're going to hate us. Oh, they're going to try to cancel us. We know they are, right? That's what I'm trying to prepare. I need about 4 hours today, okay? Just stay with. Bless you, Lisa. Thank you. Reggie, jump on in here again. Don't have it yet, Les. Jeff Nell, come on.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Ohio Brett here.
Hey, Brett.
Hey, thank you so much. Hagman loves you. You're America's coach. It was an honor to be on Hagman to give an update on the ChristianRevolution.net our first 2 months. But, Coach, you're America's coach. And everywhere I travel, it's awesome that your team shows up. And last night with Pastor Locke, your team was there, and it was an honor to be there, Coach.
So, Brett, I love Pastor Greg Locke. I'm sure he lit the house on fire. Did he have a – is there a plan?
There is no plan. That's where I was texting some team members, and my question is, does he go out into the streets? That's great that he gives a message, gets the crowd encouraged. It's scriptural. It's a great message. But you have to go outside the four walls of the church.
He's an encourager, Brett. When I go speak, you guys have heard me speak.
Coach.
I'm an encourager. I'm an encourager.
That's what you
I'm
do.
Not against encouragers. We need that. I'm not bashing him. But does it? If I just come and blow smoke and leave and nothing happens, I just blew smoke. It's meaningless, right? That's the point that I'm making.
That's right.
And John Collison, and I'll get to you, Reggie. John Collison and Jeff Klein and all you guys up there in Coshocton and up in Warsaw, we know this, that none of this stuff turns into action. None of it does. Jeff Klein gets out and works his ass off. Pardon me, I said ass. Works his ass off to get people to come to the school board meetings. Every school board member in Madison County, I'm sorry, in Knox County probably knows who Jeff Klein is. They don't know the pastors' names, but they probably know who Jeff Klein is. What the hell's going on? What's going on? We don't understand where we are. We don't understand. We're in freaking war, that they're surrounding us even as we sit here now. They're surrounding us.
Amen.
Reggie. Amen.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, thank God. Okay. So I don't air any of my dirty laundry out, and hardly people know what goes on in my life, and I like it that way. But I don't have a big group of people here yet in Ohio because I'm fairly new. So if I was back in Arizona, I'd have a huge army. But when you're talking about being persecuted, Coach, I won't go into details, but I'm being heavily persecuted right now by my own family members, like
praise
older
the Lord,
girls.
Blessed are you. Blessed are you.
And all I keep hearing is, Mom, stop what you're doing. Mom, you need to quit. Mom, stop it. So that just tells me that I keep kicking the devil in the teeth and we're winning. I don't care how small or big it is, we're winning.
We're winning.
So you need to be encouraged. It hurts. It hurts, but you just got to keep fighting. And it makes you want to fight harder.
Amen. That's the way I see it. Come on in, Jeff, now.
Four things. There's here up to the newspaper that discredited me, persecuted me.
Congratulations. On my son's death. Jeff, congratulations. It's exactly what the gospel says is going to happen to you.
Yeah. Yesterday, I street preached on the corner next to the high school. I was in front of it. I had four patrolmen and one captain steering
good.
Me down.
Good. The devil knows your name. Good.
Okay. Then later that day, I was walking my dog. I was able to witness to a young man named Angel about the Lord Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. Lastly, I come to pastors, and I mention you are to Matthew 28 and Mark 16. They go, Matthew 28, what? Yep. That's sad.
That was only the Sermon on the Mount. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, they don't like it. They lose their skirts then. Come on in, Larry.
Yeah, I absolutely. Encouragers versus actually having a plan. It's great that you have people, get people excited and encouraged and enthusiastic enough to get together. But then once people are together, they need to start having some specific plans and activities they can do that can make changes. And I'll say it again, Friends of Liberty United, that's the whole purpose, is to get groups to work together on specific things.
Amen. Amen. Come on in, Kathy. Myra first. I'm sorry, Myra, then Kathy.
Good morning, Saints. Coach, you're yes. not going to lose your halo. We're going. God is going to protect you, and it's going to protect us. We're doing good work.
Amen.
And Reggie, I'll keep you in my prayers. Brother Jeffrey, the same to you. You both have my phone number. Feel free to call me anytime if you want to talk. Thank you.
Amen, Myra. Come on in, Kathy.
Hi, I just want to let everybody know I'm a little ticked off this morning. My brother that I'm closest to informed me last night that he works for Florida Power and Light. He's worked there 23 and a half years. They sent out a letter that anyone who's not vaccinated by January the 10th will be let go. And, you know, this is really happening. It's really happening.
It's all around us, man.
Yeah. So...
Amen. Amen, Kathy. Okay. So listen, let me jump back in. Listen, folks, I don't want to be hated. I don't want that. It comes with the turf. Who's my loyalty, my fealty to? Well, my loyalty and my fealty is to the truth. To the truth. People say, well, Coach, you could deliver it a lot better. Well, is there a nice way to tell somebody they need to lose weight? Can somebody tell me a good way to tell them they need to lose weight? I don't know of a good way. So when you speak the truth, you try to do, see, if I speak the truth, if I told somebody they needed to lose weight, friends, I'm doing it in love. I'm doing it in love. I'm not doing it in hate. See, truth sounds like hate to those who hate the truth.
To those who hate the truth.
I'm telling you the truth, and you don't like it. They don't like it because why? It causes a lifestyle adjustment.
Amen.
And we have churches full of people who've never, probably, ever shared the gospel with another person in their whole life. Certainly not in a public forum, certainly. And That's where the criticism comes from. Because when I watch Jeff now, I'm convicted. When I watch Jeff Klein, I'm convicted. I'm convicted. When I see them stand up and speak the truth in a lion's den, I'm convicted. And so if I'm convicted, that means I'm probably going to have to do it too. And I don't want that feeling. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. Randy, come on in, and Bernie.
I'll make one statement. If you are not willing to be persecuted, if anyone is not willing to be persecuted for the gospel's sake, they cannot and will not be used by God to do anything. Coach, these people that are saying, oh, I'm going to lose my job. If they don't understand, they're going to take their company down to the very last minute and say, I'm going to stand up, fire my butt. I don't care. If they're not willing to say that, they're not willing to be persecuted. We need to tell people the truth. We got to speak the truth. That's all I'm going to say.
The truth, folks, again, settle this in your mind. God is love. That's what they want to tell us. God is love. Jesus is the truth. How do you separate those two things? How can you ever speak the love to somebody and not have it be the truth? Or how can you ever speak the truth to somebody and not have it be love? See, but they'll say this. Well, coach, it's the way you say it. Okay. I'll give you that. But as my buddy said, I like the way I do it better than the way you don't. Silence isn't golden.
Amen.
Silence is yellow, friends. Right? Silence is yellow. Bernie, come on in.
Okay, two things real quick, coach. One thing, Jesus didn't come to make you healthy, wealthy, and wise,
but
to make you holy, holy, holy.
Amen.
The other thing is Acts 17:6. These men who are turning the world upside down have come here also. Well, we're here. We're here to actually turn it right side up.
Amen. Amen. And who were the men he was talking about there, Bernie? The same guys he just preached his sermon to, right?
Jason.
And what happened to all those guys? Yeah.
They got busy trying to get healthy, wealthy, and wise.
Yeah,
instead of being proclaiming the gospel. Hey, listen, people love sin. They're offended by it, okay? All right, well, you need to keep telling them. Sometimes the people who hate you may all of a sudden later realize that they were wrong and then come to repentance. They're not going to know. We're just charged with telling them the truth, all right? And
yes.
You got to take care of it from there.
Hey, Bernie, I was born with a propensity to want to lie. I was born with a propensity to want to steal. I was born with a propensity to want to go chase women. I was born with that. But then I got born again. When I got born again, that natural man, even though he's still alive and kicking, that natural man died. I tried to crucify him every day because he still wants to rear his head. And if you think that you can be a Christian and serve God and feed the flesh at the same time, baby, you got a cauldron of
poison,
right? You have to die to yourself. That doesn't mean I don't like nice things, that I wouldn't like to have money, but I'm not going to compromise the truth to please people and get them to like me and send me nice cards and make donations to pass the salt. I ain't going to do that. But can I tell you the truth? That's where most ministries are. That's where most of them are. Sorry. Come on in, please. Emma. Emma, then Susan.
Okay, I'm sorry. I believe, Coach, that you and I have kind of fierce personalities, and sometimes people need to be shocked, and that's what we can do easily. Now, not everybody is able to do that. I understand it, but when it's time to shock people, it's just time to shock.
No, I'm a shock trooper. I know you are too, Emma. Hey, listen, what they say, stack them up, let somebody else bury him, whatever. I'm not trying to kill people, but I'm trying to speak them the truth. And I don't have time to, I can't be a pastor because I can't run around, rub their back and tell them how brave they are. I don't have time to do it. Come on in, Susan.
Just because they don't like the message or like the way it's presented doesn't change the fact that it's the truth.
Look what they did to Jesus. Didn't like his message, did they, Susan?
No, they hated him and they're going to hate us, but it's still the truth.
It's still the truth.
Amen.
Amen. Dale, come in, then Michelle, then Clay.
Well, brother, she was absolutely spot on. So why did they crucify Jesus? Was it because of the things he did or because of what he had said? But not only that, did not Paul say this? Brother, I want to encourage you. Did not Paul say, follow me as I follow Christ?
Yes, he did.
Okay, then Galatians chapter 3, here's Paul speaking. You foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, now being perfected in the flesh?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't this, what tone was Paul using? These are exclamation points. And then he goes on in chapter 4. He's got them so riled up. That's what he says in 4:16. What? Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth?
That's Coach, right.
you're speaking it, brother.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, Dale.
Hey, listen, I ain't better than anybody else. Don't ever think that, man. I got my own burdens to bear. I got my own traps my feet get caught in just like everybody else. I'm 100% human, right? So who are you to judge? I'm not judging. I'm a witness. I'm a witness. And I'm going to tell you that if you continue to do that, this is where it's heading. How do I know? I've been there. I'm not judging you. I'm a witness to the truth. You keep doing that, and this is where you're going to end up. Now,
amen.
I warned you. That's what it tells me I got to do. Michelle, then Clay.
Yes, morning team. That's it, Coach. I've been doing this for a long time, and the truth is still ugly, and the truth still hurts. Okay. It hasn't changed. People are just more soft now. Now they don't want to hear it anymore. In the beginning, they could just like ignore us and walk away. But now they're showing that they do not want to hear what we have to say.
Heaping up to themselves, teachers having itching ears. We get what we want from the pulpit, for sure. Clay.
Amen.
Clay.
Two things, Coach. One, people are waiting till they die to enter the kingdom of heaven. We need to find the kingdom of heaven now. We need to live in the kingdom of heaven and find peace now and know where we're at now.
Amen.
The other thing is, when we appeal to heaven, is, you know, the way we're teaching that, we need to appeal to heaven when all else fails. God gave us authority. Amen. We need to be doing everything that we can and then appeal to heaven afterward. Amen. We're not doing enough right now.
We're not. Amen. Pennsylvania Brett.
All right. Hey, good morning, everybody. I just wanted to say Pastor Ben did a great job for us on Saturday at our huddle. He started out with kind of a funny one at a time. He pulled four pistols out of his pockets, laid them on the table, talked a bit about each one. But anyway, later on, he's preaching on, how do we pray for the unsaved? How do we pray for the heathens down in D.C.? And he paused for a couple seconds and said that they burst into flames. And it was funny.
Amen. That says some imprecatory psalms, right? Amen. 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 Dale, come in then, Larry.
Well, brother, I'm just going to be real quick about it. No matter how nice the dentist sweet talks you in the word, when he rips the tooth out, it's going to hurt. Truth hurts.
Truth hurts, brother. Huh? You don't yell at the dentist, do you? You expect it. Getting the poison out. Larry, come in.
Yeah, Bernie had the mic drop of the morning in my mind. You know, when the Christians went into a new city, they turned it upside down. Well, let me tell you, Christians, when the city is upside down, that's exactly what we're supposed to be doing when we go in. We're supposed to turn it right side up.
That's what it is, man.
Amen.
You advance the kingdom. Leslie, then Randy.
Yeah, they'll know we're Christians by the love we have one for another.
Mm-hmm.
And the love of God fills our hearts and then compels us to go out to those who are in the hedges and anyone to welcome them and bring them and compel them to come in. And it's not an easy thing, but it's love.
Amen. Love.
Amen.
Why is it love? Because you're laying yourself on the line to tell them the truth. Come on, folks. Randy.
Coach, I want to give you an example of what I'm trying to say and what we're trying to do here. And I see a lot of people doing this, but I see a lot of people that are not. Coach, I was working the other day. There's two lesbians walking down the road, flaunting it in the little neighborhood, little town where I'm working. And I just sit there and listen to the Holy Spirit, Coach. I said, what do I do? Go talk to them. Coach, I go out there and I said, hi, ladies, how you doing? Oh, good, good, how are you? I said, can I talk to you a minute? Would you let me speak to you just a minute? Sure, sure. And I told them some statistics, Coach. I gave them some truth. They turned on me, Coach, and just, you know, and then long story short, it hits Facebook and all this. And Lunsford Construction, they're a bunch of bad people. They're mean and all that. Coach, it stirred up the community a little bit. Okay. That's the Holy Spirit, Coach. It's not me. It's because I was willing to open my mouth, go be persecuted for just a moment, and forget about who I am and remember how big God is, Coach. We have to be willing to put ourselves on the line. If we're not, we're just playing the game.
The Holy Spirit is the ultimate troublemaker, folks. Don't think he isn't, huh? Don't think he isn't, buddy. God bless you, Randy. Come on, Silver.
Coach, I want to remind everyone about, I mean, we're talking about how we get kind of like, how do we get people saved, that kind of thing. We have forgotten that we, like Peter on the day of Pentecost, what was he doing? He was explaining to the crowd what they had just done to the King of Kings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they were convicted in their hearts, and they said, what do we do? Repent.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he
Amen.
Said.
Amen.
For the kingdom of heaven is at hand,
part.
Right?
We forget that part.
Yep.
That's got to, that's number one.
Hey, folks, listen, let me tell you something right now. Jeff, I'll get to you in just a second, I promise. There's a difference between, let me get Jeff in, then I'll come back to it. Go ahead, Jeff.
Coach, as I met yesterday, I had a good meeting with one of the pastors, and then another one slid in towards the end. And I shared a little bit with the two pastors, two other Christian men in this office. And I kind of dropped a few bombs on them. And as I was leaving, the one pastor sitting there, I'm heading out of that first pastor's office just to leave. I'm like, see you guys later. Walk out, and I hear the one pastor sitting there. He had to add a little comment when I left. He said, Jeff, try not to make anybody mad today. I said, I'll do my best. And I walked out that door.
Isn't that something? Hey, friends, listen. Here's the key. Here's the key. We don't understand the difference between conviction and condemnation.
Amen.
The average person, when you come and let's say what Randy was talking about, or let's say your own children, let's say your children are living in sin or something's going on like that. And you go and you tell them the truth about their lifestyle, they are going to feel condemned. They're going to feel condemned because they don't have a relationship with Christ. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, it will be conviction. Conviction. You say, oh, Lord, help me, Lord. I was wrong. Condemnation comes and says, you're no good. You keep doing that. Conviction comes and says, you know better than that. You know better than that. And so we get confused, or the people that we minister to, they, if they are not of the children of God, they don't know how to handle conviction. They take it as condemnation. And that's why the scripture says, there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk by the Spirit, right? So if I have a problem with Joe Silver, I believe Joe Silver is filled with the Holy Spirit. If I talk to Joe Silver, he's going to be convicted, not condemned. And we'll reason together. We'll say, yeah, coach, you know, but did you consider this? Come, let us reason together. But if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, all you hear is the condemnation. Randy's a hater. No, Randy loves you, and he's trying to tell you the truth. But without the Holy Spirit inside of you, They don't know how to handle the truth.
Amen.
So our job is to do what? To speak the truth. We have to continue to speak the truth. And the Holy Spirit, through what we just read in Matthew, tells us you're going to be hated of all men. Why? Because they see it as condemnation. They're convicted, but they don't understand that feeling. And so their only thing, that rather than fall into repentance, conviction and repentance, That's if you don't go to conviction and repentance, you go to anger and frustration, guilt and frustration. They don't know where to put it. That's the challenge we have. Many, many, many fields are white unto harvest, and they're going to get whiter. We got to be prepared and quit worrying about being loved so much.
Amen.
We'll see you tomorrow.